So today we're going to continue our series in groundbreaking Tshuvot and have a fascinating discussion on the incredibly important, albeit difficult conversation of life insurance. Life insurance, for those that aren't familiar, is basically you buy in and have often a monthly or yearly payment, and that is going to ensure that if Chas Shalom or when Achim Eveshim you pass away, that the insurance is going to pay out a certain amount of money to your family. And that, you know, if you're not going to be able to continue living, right, you're not going to be able to necessarily make a parnasa. So it's there to ensure that the rest of your family is going to be able to live safely, comfortably, and happily, even without the main provider of the family. Generally, it is a relatively small sum. And we're going to discuss today whether or not there are halachic issues regarding getting life insurance. Is that something that's going to be acceptable or inappropriate? Maybe there's questions in Halacha, definitely questions in Machshava, Hashkafa, and Emunah that come from it. A question that we're not going to discuss tonight, an interesting discussion in the Sefer Zos Yehuda, that's all packet, I think. Whether or not if you have a life insurance and the wife is also able to collect her ksuba, whether or not the kids could just write off and say the life insurance is actually the ksuba and it's head-to-head, or is it two separate entities? Interesting discussion, but that's not going to be our discussion today. Today's going to be a discussion of life insurance in general. Okay? So we want to open up with our discussion. It's going to start with a fascinating discussion in Gemara and Yuma, Daf Ayin Vav. The Gemara discusses a case. Okay? Shalu Talmid at Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Mifnei ma lo yarad lahem yisrael man pamachas b'shana. The Talmidim ask Rashbi, why did the man have to fall down every day? I would have thought maybe it would have been acceptable. The man comes once a year. The man comes once a week. Right? What's the reason why the man only comes down in Shemayim once, why didn't it come down only once a year? So Rashbi gives them a response. He gives a mashal. Just imagine if there was a king, Melech Basav Adam, and that king would give out the food and the money for his children once a year, he gave out all the money necessary for his kids. Okay? And then the kids would never ever come to see the father. They would never see their father, right? They would only come once a year. They'd collect their money and they'd go and do whatever they wanted. So the father decided that he's going to, right, stop giving them this big one lump sum. And then the kids showed up to visit their father every single day. So too, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the man in one lump sum for the whole year, then we would never have, we wouldn't come, we wouldn't daven three times a day, we wouldn't have the same connection with Melech Malchei HaMelechim, with Avinu Shebashamayim. And so, Rashbi tells us that's why the man came down daily, as opposed to once a year, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that daily relationship with us. From here we see that there is a balance to be had, maybe where we want to have a certain connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis. We want to have a certain tefillah that's going to affect our parnasa. It's something that we want to recognize. The man is a certain hashkacha that we want to make sure that we have our parnasa. And it's something we have to recognize. There's a balance that comes from Shemayim, but it's also totally on us. On one hand, the Ezra, you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You got that on recording. Wonderful.
You're tired. It's okay. I mean, it's good. Okay? So, there is a value too. On one hand, you have to do your hashtadlus. You have to daven every day. On the other hand, it's like part of Parnassus is having a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Sotah, Memchet Amud Bet, has a fascinating discussion. This is a very, very important discussion in many different regards. Rabbi Yezer HaGadol Oymer, Kol Mishi Yesh Lo Papa Sel, Rabbi Omer Ma Ochel LeMachar, Eino Ela Mekat Ne'emuna. Let's say you have food in your fridge, and you say, Oy Vey, what are we going to eat tomorrow? But the fridge is stocked. It means you have a lack of emuna. It's one thing if your fridge is empty and you say, what are we going to eat tomorrow? But today, when we have a full fridge, that's something that we want to make sure that we have to recognize that we have food in the fridge and take advantage of it. Okay? Then the Gemara continues. So, basically, they're going to have to say, katnus shibahem shaloi minu b'ashi koshbal. The Gemara's discussion, what is this katnus? And the katnus, the Gemara explains, is a lack of emuna. Right, Rashi points out, she'ein mekabim schar shalem v'achi mashmaki ba vaz liyom haba et tzadikim katnus b'emuna. By definition, this is showing a lack. It minimizes the schar they're going to get lachar me'ev esrim because they don't have the same value towards everything they're getting. Right, there's a certain aspect, as Gemara is pointing out, is We should recognize that which we have. And by not recognizing that which we have, by just simply, right? Oh, what am I going to eat tomorrow? You have a whole stocked fridge, Baruch Hashem. You shouldn't worry. If your fridge was empty, then you worry. I get that. But right now, that is going to be called a chisaron be'emuna. The Meiri points out fascinating in this Gemara that even though the person would have, right? Sorry, even though really, here, you want my car? You join us? Or are you just getting your stuff? Okay. The Meiri points out that really every single person should go out of their way and be very, very right. You should have ishtadlus and charitzus. You have this kick in the tuchus, this ratzon, this want to be mefarnes your family. You should try and be successful in business. Okay. Yes, you want to do everything you can to go out of your way to make sure that you have a good parnasa. But you also need to make sure that Talmud Torah is part of your life. So yes, you want Talmud Torah is the ikar, that's the keva. Business is the arai, that's the temporary. But you still need to find a balance that's going to enable you to finance your family, right? You can't go work for 12 minutes a day and work and learn Torah the rest of the day if that's not enough for you to make a parnasa. If you can make a parnasa that's going to be good for you and your family in 12 minutes a day, then vada, that's an amazing thing to do and you should spend the rest of your day learning Torah. But that's what the Meiri points out here fascinatingly so. Okay? And you then take a step further. We should hang, we should trust Hashem for the majority of our bitachon. Most of our parnasa, we trust, should come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. I'm a Mishiyash, but then he quotes our Gemara that because anyone who has food in their basket should, and still says, well, I'm going to be so hungry, that's going to be considered a chisaron in their amunah. From this era, we see very importantly two interesting nekuda. That's going to be very important for our discussion. On one hand, the Meiri stresses how important it is to go to work. But he says, on the flip side, you have to make sure that you still have to make sure that Torah is part of your life, and Torah is the ikar, and that working is going to be the tafel. And we still have to have trust, even though, yes, you do go to work, but there's still a nekuda where you trust that everything comes from Hashem. The Meiri takes it a step further in his commentary on Mishlei Perek Yetet, where the Meiri points out a really beautiful piece. That a person needs to go out of their way so much to do everything they can to take care of everything they can in this light, in this world. And they shouldn't just say, oh, Hashem's going to take care of everything for me. But, but you shouldn't go so far in working your tuchus off so hard, constantly, day in, day out, to the point that you then don't even trust in Hashem at all. You say, it's all me, right? Yes, you have to make sure you get a job. Yes, you have to work. You have to have a parnasa. But you shouldn't be working so hard that you totally forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of the picture. You want to make sure that Hashem is still in the world view that you have with your parnasa. It's not all because of me, but rather Hashem is part of that discussion. Okay. Yes, you should do everything you can to have the shtadlus and to get your parnasa. But you also need to have a bitachon. It's finding that balance, walking that tightrope between that hishtadlus of making sure that you have a job and the bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you, right? And then he says basically that you have to, someone who finds that balance, that's going to be yisborach, they're going to have a lot of hatzlacha because Hashem is going to take care of that person. Okay, so far we've seen a little bit of a discussion that maybe someone who says, oh, what's going to be regarding tomorrow is a chisaron and a muna. We saw a discussion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefillos every day, that's why the man fell down daily and not once a year, you got one lump check. That was Rashbi in the Gemara in Yoma. And then we saw these two pieces in the Meiri about, yes, we need to be so careful to work and to have a parnas and to engage in making parnas. But we also want to make sure at the same time that what? That we also have bitachon Hashem. The Meiri points out very strongly, you have to have this balance. So now we're going to have to deal with the question is, well, what's life insurance? Is life insurance called hishtadlus? Is that the normal balance that we want to have? Or is that a chisaron and emuna? Right? That Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take me. Too soon. My family's not going to have money to support themselves. How are we going to play this all out? We see a step further, the Pasuk in Bereishis, when dealing with Adam and Chava, when we were kicked out of Gan Eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam, work hard, sweat your tuchus off, work the field, plow the field, reap the, harvest the wheat, grain, take the grain, Grind it. Make bread. Shkayach, that's how you eat. Work hard. Maybe that's all about working. Has nothing to do with anything else. The Rivash has a fascinating tshuva discussing a whole sugya that comes up multiple places. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef as well. Regarding a shayla of, the Gemara discusses the case, if someone is about to die, are you allowed to start digging their kever so that we can have a faster burial? What about a case, so Ariel says no. What about a case where I want to buy my own tachrichim? I want to buy the clothes that I'm going to be buried in before I'm nifter. What about buying a burial plot? All those type of things. So the Rivash already has a tshuva about this, right? Rivash is one of the Gedolei Rishonim. It's already quoted in Beis Yosef, right? Very, very important Rivash. He quotes the Ramban in the very end of Sefer Torah Sa'adam. Right? There's a whole discussion in the Gemara about this, but he basically discusses, anything that has to do with the burial of a person, you can't do until after the guy's actually nifter. You can't just start digging a kever randomly because you want to until the guy's nifter. Right? The guy's a ghost, says he's on his deathbed. And now you're going to start digging a kever. He's going to give up all hope. He's for sure going to pass away. Oh, they're already digging my grave. Like, what? Why should I keep fighting? Okay? But the Rivash says, this halacha of not buying the tachrichim, not digging the grave, not preparing the levaya, who's going to give the hespedim, what's the order, who's going to carry the aron, all those discussions. Those are usher to do, but that's only the Rivash categorizes. That's only when the person's currently sick, right? But avaha bria, ha'ozin kivreim v'tachricha en latim l'chvodam, en chashav shvazeh. But let's say you're totally healthy and you just want to organize things. You want to make sure everything's okay. So that, the Rivash says, that's totally fine. Ephraim Goldberg from Boca Raton has a fascinating series of shiram on halachic wills. And he calls the series a very, very, I think it's a beautiful name, right? Failing to plan is planning to fail, right? This is what the Rivash is saying. If you're totally healthy, you should plan, right? Unfortunately, buying graves and making all these things are very expensive. And unfortunately, it leads to much machloket between the different kids and the Yorushim. Oh, would Abba have wanted this? What would he really have wanted back and forth? So that's why Rav Goldberg, Rav Ephraim points out, failing to plan is planning to fail. If you don't take those precautions to make sure that everything's mesudar, for when the time comes, you're setting yourself up and your children up for failure because it might unfortunately lead to more machloket. So the Rivash says, in such a case, that's mutter. From here, we would seem to say, the Rivash would tell us, what would the Rivash say about life insurance? That you're planning to make sure that your wife and your kids have money to support them after you're an iftar. That's called Chacham Einav Berosho. A smart person is one who thinks long term. You're thinking ahead. You're planning what's going to be. And that is Chacham Einav Berosho. Seemingly, the Rivash would say this is very important. Obviously, if you're sick and on your deathbed, now all of a sudden you go and buy life insurance, that's not going to be healthy because that's going to lead you maybe to passing your death. You're going to give all hope. Okay, life insurance is set. The grave's dug. We're good. I could die now in peace. Also, as a practical aside, I assume if you want to buy life insurance and you're on your deathbed, it will be significantly more expensive. No one's going to give you life insurance if you're going to die in the next few weeks. I don't think you're going to get a good policy for that. Okay? The Gemara mentions in three different places, in Brachos and Yetet, Brachos Samech, and also in Ksuvos and Tavchet. Reish Lakish said in the name of Rav Yosef, Le'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. What's this Gemara? This Gemara discusses in multiple cases, right? There was a Yirato that they would say before they went into the bathhouse or things like that. And the Gemara, Reish Lakish says, maybe you should never say these tefillos. Maybe you should never be engaged in these things. Why? Because you should never ever open your mouth to instigate the Satan. So many of the posts can quote this Gemara's. The minute you buy life insurance, what are you doing?
Instigating the Satan.
You're instigating the Satan. Oh! Sammy's now got life insurance. His family doesn't need him anymore. Off with his head. Right? He's useless. He's here to provide a parnasa. So there's some posts you want to be medayik from here. That what? Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam only keeps you in this world. Ariel, the only reason you're here is to support your family. So the minute your family's going to be supported without you, so the Satan can come and take you away. Who needs you anymore? By definition of buying life insurance, you're ki'ilu potach pel Satan. You're instigating, you're asking for it, and that's not going to be appropriate. The Magen Avraham quotes this discussion regarding the vidui, right? He quotes our Gemara in Brachos Tzadok. This is regarding saying vidui. Shalolomar imemahot tiyeh mitati, right? Maybe you shouldn't say it. You shouldn't say the vidui before your nifter until right before your mamish died because you're potach pel satan. Okay? And you shouldn't be marbe in right? Chatati, aviti, chashati. You shouldn't continue and say all of these. All of these.
No.
You shouldn't say all of these. You shouldn't start saying all these Hashamnus and Vidois. You're still alive. Don't just start saying all these crazy tefillot. You know, you're going to give up a little. That's not okay. Okay? And then he continues. But the reason why the Gemara said it was different was because in the Merchot, you were allowed to say a certain Hiratzon because there was, right, the bad house had a certain Sakana. Who? Laila Vashena Inami Makam Sakana. Kamashagat the Roshan, right? Okay? And so too, going before you go to sleep or going to the bad house, there was Sakana, right? There was a good likelihood people unfortunately didn't wake up in the morning. So in such a case, okay, you could, so you should do a little bit of Yechashbar Nefesh, you should do a little bit, but you shouldn't go too far. Right? It's finding this balance. If you know you did a certain Avera, you should do Vidui for that, right? At night, or before you go to the bathhouse, when there's a little bit of Sakana, so there's enough space to do a small amount of Vidui, but you shouldn't go so far. So where the Magen Avraham finds also a middle ground here. Maybe it's one thing to get a life insurance policy, but to go all out and get, you know, 9 different policies from every company and make, you know, make sure, you know, to the nth degree, that's going to be a little bit too much, and that might not be necessarily healthy.
I would still argue on that, because, like, you're acknowledging the fact that at some point you're going to pass away by getting a life insurance policy. You're not actively doing something to tempt the satan.
Okay, that's a great point. Right, you're saying, reality is, right, I forget who says it, right, there's only 3 things in life that are, birth, death, and taxes are the 3 things that are guaranteed in life. One of the 17th century thinkers, I forget who, 1700s. Blanking out who, right?
I think
that's what you're saying.
Benjamin Franklin said that there are 2 things that are sure in life.
He was quoting someone else from France, one of the French thinkers.
Okay, fine.
And birth, by definition, it's those 3. But
yeah, I'm not sure if that was quoted.
But yeah, so that's what you're saying, is there's a certain point where, you know, it's a given that you're going to pass away. But maybe it's going to be hastening your death. Maybe the only reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping you by your bechesed to take care of your family and by getting a health insurance plan, you're gonna make yourself futile. No need to keep you around. The Mishnah in Kiddushin has a really interesting discussion. Rebbe, at the very end of Masechet Kiddushin, there's a whole discussion about what a father has to teach his kids. What type of, right? You have to teach your kids a profession, you have to teach them to swim, etc. Very end of Masechet Kiddushin. And the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Meir held, you have to teach your child, umnus, nikia bekal, you have to teach them how to get a job, you have to give them a, you know, teach them a proper trade or a craft. And you have to daven every single day that they're going to have a good parnasa, right? And you have to make sure that you're going to have a good job, etc. Back and forth. Rabbi Nahorai disagrees and says, no, you should put aside all the jobs in the world. I'm not going to teach my son how to get a job. I'm not going to teach him to be a plumber or an electrician or a shoemaker or a lawyer, whatever it is. All I want is that my kids should sit and learn Torah. See, maybe we have a machloket and how we should look at life. Rabbi Meir says, you need to get a job. Rabbi Nohrei says what? No, sit in kollel all day. Right? This is what we saw in the Meiri before. There's a middle ground. Torah is ikar. Yeah, but you still have to get a job. That's still part of your life. That's still something we have to be doing. So we seemingly have a machloket in this Mishnah and Kiddushin, 2 approaches to how we should live in this world. Do we get a job, Rabbi Meir, and make sure it's a good job? It's a job that's going to be tzanua. You shouldn't get a job, right? The whole discussion there. You shouldn't have a job that's going to be too involved with the woman, right? You're running a woman's clothing store, a shaytel, you're right? Ezra's going to be a shaytel macher. That might not be the most tzanua thing for Ezra to be doing. Something like that. So that's the whole discussion. But there's a big cash on this, right? It's one thing to say we have a machloket, right? He says you should sit in kollel and trust God for your parnasa. And Rabbi Meir says, no, you should go get a job. That's a fair machloket, right? We can understand that machloket. We have a big cash on this Mishnah. The Gemara in Erevin tells us, right? Vilamar Nikra, right? Tana lo Rabbi Meir Shemo, elo Nahorai, Rabbi Nahorai Shemo. Really? Nahorai and Meir were the same guy. So how could you have this machloket? The same person.
He had two opinions that he held in flux for himself.
Okay, like, interesting. So the Gemara says, right?
No, he had two ideas. That
okay, but sort they're of, but they're completely against one another. So you're going to say it in the name of your alter ego?
No, somebody can be like that. Somebody can hold two conflicting ideas. They're not quite sure which one they really.
We don't typically find that in halacha. Normally, I mean, if we ever see...
This isn't typical halacha. This is literally discussing how are you going to live your life. This is like
that's the most important halakha.
That's true.
That's arguably the most important.
This is philosophical discussion.
Not necessarily. This is what should you be teaching your kids?
This is existential discussion. I'm saying that it's possible you have this one guy who he has two opinions and he sort of flips between them.
Okay. So that's our discussion. We have two different opinions in this Mishnah and Kiddushin.
The rabbis hold that. And even if they do flip opinion, that's because they have decided otherwise later in their life.
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
I have to agree.
You have never in your life seen anybody who has, like, contradicting views on something that they...
All right, that's good. Ellie, you guys discuss this over dinner?
Not rabbis when they compile halacha.
Or they're discussing, like, major hashkafa.
One thing or another thing. I've never seen them...
Maybe this is two rabbis and they're wrong.
That's our discussion.
Exactly.
But
that's what we were talking about.
Or maybe he had one opinion and then he changed to the other.
The Gemara generally says that. Chazarba. We have a discussion. This case where we say
that.
It was Chazarba. I'm with you on this one.
I was just saying that the first thing that you suggested, I've never seen.
It seems like a very odd answer. So we're going to see one answer. So, right, Rabbi Meir, you should go out and get a job. Make sure your son has a good job, a good parnasa. Rabbi Nehorai, you should make sure that your son knows how to learn Torah. He's going to sit in kol. It's going to be great. Kasha, Gemara, and Erevin. Nehorai is the same guy as Meir. Rabbi Nehorai is Rabbi Meir. So I want to see an incredible answer by the Sefer HaMakneh. The Sefer HaMakneh, in his commentary on Kiddushin, writes, if everything is equal, and all is good, then of course we should sit and we should learn Torah all day, Be'emuna Shleima, and everything's going to be fine, right? All of a sudden, you inherit $500 million, so sit in Kol Olad, Me'av Esrim, you're going to be great, right? You don't need to work your tuchas off getting a parnasa. Everything's fine. He's medakim this pasuk that if someone has this incredible bitachon from Inakash Baruch Hu, you're on this ridiculously high madrega with your emuna that everything's from Hashem. It's going to be amazing. You believe 100% that Akash Baruch Hu is taking care of everything, and your kol kula is shalim b'zeh. You 100% believe it. So then, that's going to be okay. You don't go to work. That's the Rav Nehorai. Rav Nehorai is talking to the guy who has impeccable emunah. He believes 100% in everything. That is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's a tzaddik. And that's what the pasuk says. Tzaddik be'emunato yichya. The tzaddik in his emunah he lives. Right? You're a tzaddik. You live with such high emunah, so you trust it. Okay? But then he says, Ach, misha ein muvtacham, chazak v'liba mistabek. But someone who's not on this incredibly high madrig, right? How many people are 100% kol kula with every little drop of their bone believe, I don't need to do anything on a college buckle to take care of me, 1,000% nothing else. That's an incredibly high madrig of emuna. So the Machna then points out, anyone who's not on that madriga can't, right? We have an Isra to be stomach on an ace. We discussed this a few weeks ago, if I recall, right? And Adam Sumek on this, we discussed it regarding smoking, right? You can't really just trust that God's gonna save you, do you a miracle, right? You're trying to kill yourself, and Akash Baruch is gonna keep you alive. Okay? So, too, he says you can't rely that Akash Baruch is gonna do a miracle and save you. And in such a person, then, the halakha is like Rabbi Meir, you have to know how to learn, you have to get a job. And that's why Rashbi says, right? That's why the Gemara tells another place. Many people did like Rashbi. They went to a cave and they studied but alone for 12 years and they ended up dying. They couldn't do it. Because Rashbi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, was on this incredibly high madrega. He was able to just sit in a cave all day and learn Torah. And Akash Baruch Hu would sustain him by giving him a stream and a tree with fruit seed. For Rashbi, that worked. But for everyone else that couldn't do it, now we know why. Because there's a difference in the metaphysics of the person's belief system. That's what shifts what the psak is for them. And I really like this shuva, this answer of the Sefer HaMakneh. To say it's not a stero. We're discussing two different people, and it's about who the person is. If you're on the level of Rashbi, shkayach, go sit and learn for 12 years in a cave, and Akash Baruch Hu will take care of you. But for someone who's not on the madrig of Rashbi, so then you have to hold like Rabbi Meir and get a job and make sure you're doing what you can to be mafarnes your family. That I thought was a really great answer by the Makneh. Now I want to look at a few different shuvos in the poskim to see how they relate halakha lemaisa to life insurance. You'll see, just as an interesting aside, I wrote on the last page, a lot of the different places brought it down, that Rav Meir Shapiro, right, the person often attributed as the founder of Daf Yomi, the founder of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin in Lublin, right? In the end, he never had any children. And he said that he has two children. He has one child called the Yeshiva and one child called Daf Yomi. But as a result, he went back in the day, the Rosh Yeshiva was one of the main jobs of the Rosh Yeshiva. It was not just to give shir, but it was to fundraise, right? I'm sure if you ask Rabbi Ginsburg, a good amount of his job is fundraising, making sure that the yeshiva has the money to support, to keep the doors open, to keep the electricity running, to buy svarim to make sure that they're shirim, etc. So Rav Meir Shapiro took out a very, very large amount of life insurance, a large policy, because he said if Chas Shalom Nifter, the yeshiva is going to close down, and he didn't want that to happen. It should be noted, Rav Meir Shapiro was Nifter very young, before the Holocaust started. He was very young when he was Nifter, but it's brought down that he himself did take out an insurance policy, so that if he died, the yeshiva wouldn't fall apart without him. We're going to look at a few different opinions inside. Depending on time, we'll see how much we got. About 20 minutes, we got a little bit late start, but let's try and see some. The first we're going to discuss now is the Mishnah Halacha of Menashe Klein. We discussed him a few times recently, and he has a fascinating tshuva where he's asked regarding this question of life insurance, maybe getting life insurance. There's those who say that getting life insurance is, you know, a lack of emunah, it's a chisaron in bitachon, right? You're going to then be worried, you're not going to live to 120 years because you're not trusting in Hashem, right? Maybe, right? And then he continues, right, you're going to, we need to do our hashtadlus. That's the flip side. Maybe that's part of our hashtadlus is to get life insurance. And then you're not going to, right?
It's upon us to look out for that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what doing our hashtadlus is. Okay? And then he says, and one of the reasons why this is such an important discussion, and many of the other posts we'll see will mention this also. Almost not a day goes by where you don't open up some of the Jewish news sources or get random emails. This guy passed away. He left behind almana and eight yatomim. Every single day, there's a new story. Hachna says Kala, her father was nifter prematurely. This and that, all the time. Unfortunately, lo aleinu. There's constantly stories, unfortunately, of people who are nifter very, very young. What? Well, this is not for now. No, let's discuss that later. But so he says, if all these people took out a life insurance policy, right? Not everyone could donate to every single tzedakah campaign that knocks on their door. But if everyone took out a life insurance policy, then as a tzibor, we'd be much better off. For unfortunately, all these families that pass away. I know a few weeks ago, my wife's aunt, we were by them for Shabbos, mentioned that there's an organization, I think Karen Yachad, but I forget what it's called, apparently something like that, where everyone pays into the Karen, I think like 30 shekel a month. And then if Chas V'Shalom, you pass away, the organization, the tzedakah, gives each of your kids puts aside a trust for each of the kids for 100,000 shekel that could only be used for certain things. So buying an apartment, for a wedding, for education. So, you know, it's not just, oh, here's a check, go do what you want. And people, you know, they cash out their life insurance and go on this crazy vacation. But it's apparently a organization that's specifically to help people in these situations. You basically buy in, and then your kids are insured, and you also know that they can't waste the money. The money's only is earmarked for certain things. Apparently, it's a very, very important organization. I don't know much more about it, but I know it came up in discussion on Shabbos a few weeks ago. So, Rav Menashe Klein opens up with our Gemara in Ksuvis in three different places. That we know the Gemara and Chazal were mitakin that a woman has to have a ksuba, right? What's a ksuba? If you're Megaresh her, she gets a certain money. Also, what's another aspect of our ksuba? We mentioned this at the very beginning of the shiur, the Zos LeYehuda. That if, let's say, Chas V'Shalom, the husband's nifter, the woman is still entitled to collect her ksuba money from the Yorshim before the rest of the family divvies up the estate. So we see by definition, Chazal were mitakin a ksuba, Rav Menashe Klein points out, that from there, we see maybe life insurance is totally fine. Maybe the ksuba is a form of life insurance. It's a very interesting way to look at a ksuba. But practically speaking, if the husband's nifter, the wife still keeps her ksuba and she could be gover her nechazim, she could collect against the rest of the inheritors, she could collect against her children or the other people in the husband's will, because that's why the ksuba was set for. Okay? And then he says, we know that the derech ha'olam, right, people want to make sure that their wife and kids are taken care of. That's normal. A normal human being wants to make sure their wife and kids are supported. Okay? And then, right, you're not going to want just to waste everything. You're going to die, and everything's going to get destroyed. They're not going to be able to even finance themselves. Okay, so then he says you have a chiyuv to make sure you get a job and to do everything you can. Which is it's interesting hashkafically where some of the tshuvos here are so pro getting a job. When hashkafically we often think of them as more people who are pro learning and kola, more of a Rabbi Nehorai versus a Rabbi Meir discussion. But he points out it's so important. We see how important you're mevatel Torah, right? Right? Where's your right say? We'll ask your atzmo lasot asakim kidei arviach leliknos bituach levatel b'zeh mitzvos tamo Torah v'shar mitzvos. So vada, you have a chiyuv to go and to make sure that you have money to buy insurance. The aim to Elam Baisa Yetzir Levat Lemilim Torah Mitzvah Hashem V'Kosher Kain B'nei Torah Musalim Mipaz Avrechem B'nei Akolel V'nei Yeshivas Asher Torah Tamu Natan V'Yoshim Al Torah Al Kala B'Odeh V'Kos V'Kadam V'Kos. Okay. Basically, he says those who mamish are not able to close the month. If you buy the insurance, you're not going to be able to finish the month. Then you shouldn't buy the insurance. But if you're doing well, right? If you're a young guy in Kolel and you don't have the money to buy the insurance, and if you buy the insurance, you're not going to be able to sit and learn. So then, better that you sit and learn. But if you're able to make the money, you're learning, you're making plenty of money. So then, of course, it's a mitzvah to buy the life insurance. And he brings a bunch of them, right? He brings up Pesukim in Tehillim and a bunch of other places. And regarding Petra and Peh, so he says, you should make sure you have to have a Parnasa. Ve'im kein hu ba'atzma gurim atzma ra. Ayidei zechaz shalom shalui v'atzel gzeratzo. Ava mashin nira ledina. But rather, what do we say to ledin? She'ein b'zeh isra lefiyot nisayi. There's no isra to do this. There's no chisaron in your amunah. Right? So long as you're not going to start coming to more bitzlor. If you need to stop learning so that you can buy the life insurance, better to keep learning than to stop learning so you can buy life insurance. But other than that case, better that you should for sure get life insurance. That's one example when he would say you shouldn't get life insurance. But in general, if Nasha Klein says you should go and get life insurance. There's two very important tshuvas by the Igros Moshe that discuss this, that we're going to discuss now. But Moshe Feinstein, we've discussed many times as well, points out, is asked a question as well regarding life insurance. And he says, right, he's asked whether or not there's a reason maybe they're buying life insurance, okay, that's going to be a problem with Chisaron and Emunah. Maybe all of a sudden now you're going to, you know, everything's going to be okay. The mother, your soulmate, and your wife are going to be fine. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, the Satan's going to come and kick you off. Pitchom Peh. So Moshe writes, no, rather it seems there's no lack of Chisaron and Emunah and Bitachon by getting life insurance. Because everything is, you know, in life, there's a balance between doing your job, right? Kechol inyanei mitzchah she'adam lo rak she'rashai, el gam mechuyev lasot. You don't only, maybe you have a rashus to go get a job. You have a chiyev to get a job. You have a chiyev to support your family. So Rav Moshe then continues, and it's usher to say, I'm not going to do anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure my parnasa shows up. You can't say, I'm not going to do anything, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that every morning I get out of bed, there's going to be an envelope with 500 shekels cash under my doorstep. Rav Moshe says, you can't do that. That's usher. You have to support your family. You can't just rely on such a miracle. Okay? And such a thing, right, you're not allowed to be samach on nes, you're not allowed to rely on miracles. You can't rely on Hashem's going to send you all your parnasa, not doing anything. Rather, you need to make sure that you make enough money to support yourself and your family. But right? And you can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send a specific gzera on this because you got this insurance. And even for Rav Nehorai, Rav Moshe gives a different answer to this machloki between Rav Meir and Rav Nehorai. He points out, Rav Nehorai said, I don't get a job, I just learned Torah, right? That discussion we saw in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. Right? From Rav Nehorai, it seems to say, you don't need to teach your son a job. All you need to do is teach him Torah and that's it. You don't need to give him a job. No, rather he says, Pasha. She'en l'smach, right? Even Rav Nehorai says, you can't be smach on days. And he says, no, when is it's not a machloket between them. They're dealing with two different ages. When your child is young, you need to teach him Torah. He's a young boy. He needs to learn Torah. But when it comes to the time for him to get a job, when he's about to get married, you need to teach him how to get a job. So when he gets married, you get, right? Your kid's 6 years old, so you need to start teaching him Torah. Chumash, Navi, Mishnah, start teaching him Torah. Your kid's 18, he's about to go get married and live a life. So now you need to go send him to trade school to make sure that he is going to. So that's how Rav Moshe says there's no machloket between the two of them. They both agree you need to have a parnasa and you need to have Talmud Torah. It's a balance between them. They play off one another. Yes, you need to learn Torah. Yes, you need to have a parnasa. Okay? And even if Nehorai says you can't rely on a miracle, you need to do what you can to get a parnasa. And thus, Rav Moshe says, you for sure have to go out and get insurance, right? That's a normal way that people go get their parnasa. Right? It's a natural. Everyone gets into life insurance today when they get older, so that's normal. There's no chesaron in emunah by doing what's normal. I would argue, being medayik in this Rav Moshe, right? Getting life insurance is normal, that's for sure mutter. If you live in Modi'in and you get tornado insurance, that's called a chisaron in emunah. When was the last time there was a tornado in Modi'in? But if you live in the middle of Kansas or wherever and you get tornado insurance, that's normal. You live in Florida, you have hurricane insurance, that's normal. No one in Modi'in gets hurricane insurance. That's called a chisaron in emuna. Right? Rav Moshe says, we have to do what's relatively normal within the world you live in, and if everyone's getting life insurance, that's called a chisaron in emuna. But to get these crazy insurance, getting car insurance is a normal thing. Right? That's totally normal. Okay? And thus, for sure, once you get insurance, and you have a chiyuv to get insurance, right? Regarding, you know, maybe if there's a half fire or someone breaks into your house or car insurance, or Moshe mentions those. All those are things that there's no chisaron in your emunah because those are normal. Right? That's the right. Shenagu hetzer kol ha'olam. Ab yireshem yisborach bazeh. Right? Everyone in the world has health insurance, has life insurance, has car insurance, has renters or homeowners insurance. Those are normal. Right? If Moshe sitting in Manhattan got tornado insurance, that would be weird. But normal things you do get. Rav Moshe continues in a separate tshuva in Chelek Dalet Siman Mem Chet, right? And he also says he has mentioned his first tshuva, and then he adds on that this is not going to be a problem. It's just like you know your parnasa. And what was the thing that he added in here? There was something added here. What's interesting about this tshuva, we're not going to get into the numbers now, is the person asked Rav Moshe whether or not it was better to get the larger insurance policy or the smaller insurance policy, and, you know, how much money am I paying in every month, and how to balance some of those, you know, intricacies, you know, between how much money do I spend on it or not. Correct, but it's very interesting. They asked Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's going into the numbers of the monthly payment versus this, and Rav Moshe's like, I don't understand. I don't understand the logic. You know, you put in, you know, $30 a month or whatever it was, and you know, after your niftach chas v'shalom, you could get, you know, hundreds of thousands. Like, he's like, I don't understand how the math works out. But there's those, I forget who said it exactly, but I saw someone quote it as well, that it's fascinating. You might think that rather, by getting life insurance, you're asking that your potach, pal is satan, that you're going to die earlier. But every one of the, I think it might be Rav Avadia, I don't remember, we'll see it in a little bit, that no, it's the exact opposite. By buying the life insurance policy, the life insurance company... The life insurance company davens. What is the guy who owns a life insurance company? What is he daven for every day? I daven with Kavana that every single day, no one who has a policy with my company dies. Because the minute someone dies, I have to pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I daven every day that no one dies because then I make a lot of money. So one of the Bozkim said that's why it's not Potech Pelas Adon. Because Dafka, now you have another guy praying that you live out Me'av Esrim. This guy wants you to be alive so he can collect money from you as long as possible.
That's a bit of a stretch.
It's but you hear the logic there, as it flips the whole thing on its head.
I hear the logic.
It's very funny.
But the owners of the insurance policies aren't Jewish. It's funny.
No, if they are. Let's say they are. Even if it's not a non-Jew. The non-Jew wants to succeed in business. So he says, you know, I hope that no one dies on my policy today because that's how I pay out. That's someone who owns a car insurance company.
Okay,
they don't want there to be any accidents.
It's
the exact opposite of what I would have thought. Right? I would have thought, Potech Pelas Adon, then you buy the insurance, you know. It's as if you're saying, yeah, I'm going to die. Okay, shkaf. No, Dafka, there's someone now who cares that you don't die besides for your family. They don't want to pay out. They would much rather collect the $50 a month or whatever it is, making up numbers, than to pay you the $100,000 per kid. Right?
Okay.
It's better business for them. If everyone died, they'd be out of business like that. They want to make money.
It's like doctors.
Yeah. Yeah, but the doctors don't die. No. Yeah, but the doctors don't die for you not to, don't daven for you to not get sick. They daven that you don't die. So it's a little different, but okay. Rav Avadia Nechavadat Gimel Pehei discuss this. And discusses a fascinating medrash. The medrash, Sochar Tov, in Tehillim Perikachav Gimel, says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Yehuda Omer Leman Yivarach Hashem Elokecha Bechol Maaseh Yadech Asher Yasecha. So what's this discussion? Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses everything you do with your hands. All that you do with your hands, that you should do. So what? How could it be the Medrash tells us that you should sit and do nothing? Rather, it's everything that you do with your own hands. Hashem is only mevarech that which you do with your hands. That's what the Medrash is medayek from this pasuk in Tehillim. So from there, Rav Avadia is medayek Rav Avadia was medayek that practically speaking. That everything is about your shtadlus. Hashem only gives you bracha for that which you do with your own hands. You have to put in the effort, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevarech it. So from there, Rav Avadia is seemingly saying, you have to, the shtadlus you do is called buying the insurance. Taking out the policy, that's part of your shtadlus. Of course, now everything's going to be, give you bracha. But if you don't do anything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't give bracha to nothing. I mean, he can. But there's an aspect of you have to go and put in the first steps for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow. Okay? So as a result, he then continues and says, you have to do your hashtadlus. I'm not sure if he quotes our sugya in Sota that we mentioned before. And then he says, from when the Beis HaMikdash was Charav, when the Beis HaMikdash unfortunately was destroyed, no one has emunah anymore. We don't have the same level of emunah as we used to. In the Beis HaMikdash, you saw nisim and neflaos day in and day out. There's a certain level of emunah that we lived in. But now, unfortunately, we don't have the same level of emunah as we used to. So now we're not on the high level of chassidim as we discussed from the Meiri and the Sefer, right? So they had to shift our relationship to our emunah with Hashem. And now our discussion of someone who says that they don't have bread, right? They have bread in the fridge, but what am I going to eat? That's katnus emunah. So the Marsha points out, Shezol Mishnas chassidim. That whole discussion was about these crazy chassidim, similar to what we saw in the Meiri. Two different people. Sorry, the Sefer HaMakneh. We're dealing with two different people, not the Meiri. Okay? There's a person who's able to live his entire life and recognize all that which Hashem does. He sees every little thing, it's from Hashem. And so that person, they say, Hoshia Hashem, Ki Gemar Chasdo, Keep Us Amun Reit B'nei Adam. That person, everything's from Hashem, they're a Tzadi. But everyone else, we're not on this level. Kopanim, Isar Min Adin. For them, it's us, they have to do their status, they have to do their own work, and you have to trust that you have to, and by getting the insurance, that is something you have to do. Okay? And so too, he brings down as the Shupri Chasadeh, said you can't get insurance, okay? And he brings Tosos and Kiddushin, right? Regarding that, Tosos brings down that you're allowed to marry off your daughter when she's a Kitana. But, Tosos asks a question, I don't understand. Minhag HaOlam, they married off their daughters when they were Kitanos. But the Gemara says it's usher to marry off your daughter when she's a Kitana. Tosos answers, it shifted because they were living in a generation where they didn't have the parnasa, and right now you have the money to be able to marry off your daughter. You don't want to wait another 5 years when unfortunately you might not be able to. So Ravadia takes that as also you see there's a certain aspect of sometimes you have to do your hashadas. Right now I have the money to be mekadesh my daughter. I'm going to have to do so because I don't know in the future if I'm going to have that money. I generally don't have that money. Right now I had a good business deal. I'm going to take advantage of the deal. So from here Ravadia says, we see sometimes in life there's things you have to do when you have the opportunity, things are in your hand, take advantage of them. And that's it, it's a mutter to go out and get life insurance. Okay? Shevet Alevi, right? We only have the 3 minutes left. Shevet Alevi says also that this is a normal thing that people do. Okay? And people should go out and get life insurance. Right? Make sure that everyone is going to be taken care of. So too, a tshuva by Rav Eliyashiv. Rav Eliyashiv was asked, interestingly enough, by Rav Makiel Cutler, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood and another one of the Rebbeim in Lakewood, about whether or not they shouldn't have built into the Avrechim's, the Kolel members' monthly stipends, a certain amount that they're going to buy life insurance for all of the Avrechim. That's why it's not in the tshuva. That's what I read online is the backstory to this tshuva. And they're asking him about what he thinks regarding life insurance, and in the middle he writes like one paragraph tshuva, but there's one line right here in the middle. Vaday ratzui hadavar lefol bazeh. For sure, one should go out of their way to deal with this, to get life insurance. And the tshuva's when Hagos Rav Moshe Sternbach points out Yishevah Rafua Shleima, he's not doing so well, and he's been in the hospital and not for the past little bit. Regarding this whole discussion, he says, I've heard the whole discussion about life insurance, right? Maybe there's those who are going to say that now I'm not going to be able to mefarnes my family. I'm going to be able to mefarnes my family. The Satan's going to kill us. He quotes all these different svaras. And he says at the end, that having life insurance is going to make, shorten your life. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, we need you to support your family. So he starts off with this whole discussion. Maybe it's not so good to do this. Okay? And he continues and he says, no, rather at the end of the day, we do have to go out and make sure that we have money. We have to make sure we're finance our families. Maybe you could have emunah for yourself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. But who says Acham Ev Esrim? When you're not in the picture anymore, your wife and your kids, when they don't have any parnasa, are going to have that same emunah. That's exactly what he's saying. So, he says for sure you'd have to go out and get it, okay? Just like you go to the doctor, you're not allowed to not go to the doctor. You're not allowed to, or you have to, there's certain things you have to do, that's part of your normal way of life. And then he quotes the Gra regarding Bitachon, it's not just about Refuah that you have to go to the doctor, but in anything else in life, when it's in Yanni Refuah, Bitachon, he has a whole long discussion, maybe, Yechid Eskula, someone who never ever does anything. Everything in their life is they only sit and learn Torah, they believe 100% that everything's gonna become from Hashem. So maybe that guy shouldn't buy life insurance. But let's assume you're not that guy, you're the 99.8% of the world. So then you should buy life insurance. So to sum up, we saw some interesting discussions whether or not one should or shouldn't get life insurance. We saw discussions of Potech Pele Satan. You're causing the Satan to be Mekachig on you. We saw the discussion about why the Mun came every day instead of only once a year. The discussion with Rashbi, right? The Meiri, you want to find this balance, or you want to have the Hishtadlus. We also you have to have the Amuna, and the Bitachon, but you also need to have the Hishtadlus. Right, Bracious, everything, you have to work hard to be able to eat the bread. You have to do your Shadlus. The Rivash about buying Tachrichim and making a burial spot for yourself before you're buried. Right? And the Magen Avraham as well. Regarding that.
Morbid to have to go out and shop for your own shroud.
Okay, and then we saw the seemingly Stira in the Mishnah in the end of Kiddushin regarding Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nahora. And then we saw the Kashi that comes up from Erevin of how that all plays out. Meir is Nahorai, how could that be? We saw different answers in the Makneh. And Rav Moshe brought a different answer. And Lamaisa, Rav Avadia, Rav Moshe, Rav Menashe Klein, Rav Sternbach, Rav Eliashiv, the Shevet Alevi, Rav Osner, they all paskin that really one should go out and get life insurance. Bezat Hashem, we shouldn't need this. Everyone should live ad mea v'esrim. But unfortunately, people are nifter young. And we want to make sure that our wives and kids are supported. And it should be something we shouldn't know of. But if it is, it should be something very important for each and every one of us. Amen.